us now as he comes, Lord, we pray. Amen.
We're in Matthew's Gospel. If you're visiting today, you're most welcome. And we've spent some months looking at the early chapters of Matthew's Gospel. We've been going through a few verses at a time. Chapter 8. And the second service today, we're blessing. And the parents dedicate themselves to Christian parenthood. So often people talk about the baby being dedicated, and actually it's the parents who are. We bless the baby, the parents dedicate themselves to Christian. But this gets said so many times in Baptist churches that it's not the child. We're not dedicating the child to God. We're blessing the child. The parents dedicate themselves to the task of Christian parenthood. If you listen to the words the next time you're at a service, you'll see, you'll grasp that if you haven't before. But I prepared this message this morning with the second service in mind. I've changed it slightly for you people, but if you wonder why I'm going on and on about children, this is one of the reasons why I'm going on and on about children this morning. I was blessed when you sang that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, because I was thinking about my sermon at the time and thought, I guess if preachers could just reflect more of the glory and grace of Jesus, it would help the congregation in understanding the scripture. You know, I don't think Jesus had any difficulty making himself understood, have any difficulty getting a crowd together. And was to do with the fact that he spent a long time in the Father's presence. And so he was just a good person and a person to be around. You felt that when this person spoke, wow, they'd been with the Lord and they'd got something to pass on. I felt there was a lesson for all preachers in that chorus. Well, the reading is Matthew chapter 8. It's just a short reading. When Jesus came down from the hill, large crowds followed him. Then a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came to him, knelt down before him and said, Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I do want to, he answered, be clean. And at once the man was healed of his disease. Then Jesus said to him, Listen, don't tell anyone, but go straight to the priest and let him examine you. Then in order to prove to everyone that you are cured, offer the sacrifice that Moses ordered. Well, the context of today's reading is that the Lord had just finished his Sermon on the Mount and he was coming down the hillside. And in chapters 5 to 7, Jesus spoke with a moral authority and a power not really seen since the days of Moses and Elijah. And even John the Baptist's powerful preaching, which did lead to many people professing a change of heart towards God, even that was not accompanied by powerful signs and miracles. Jesus spoke, and Jesus still speaks with tremendous authority. The Bible says that he has created all things, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. And here is Jesus standing on the hillside and speaking directly into the hearts of anyone who would listen. Jesus still speaks today. He can communicate with us spirit to spirit. And the greatest possible blessing a human being can have in this life is to know that God has met with them, to know that you've come into a personal relationship with Jesus, to know that you know God's blessing on your life. Jesus still speaks today. And on that hillside long ago, Jesus spoke to the heart of everyone who would listen. And he still speaks today as people read and listen to the Bible. We believe that the Bible is still God's word for today. And the Bible, for Christians, should be the final authority for matters concerning faith and practice. Let's not argue things from what the culture says. Let's argue our case from what the Bible says about particular issues. And God's word is more than a series of symbols on a page, or if you're really switched on a screen. Yes, it has a living power of its own, and it will accomplish what it's meant to do in people's hearts. And in the church, we need to do all we can to ensure that God's word gets an entrance into people's hearts. And I think especially into the hearts and lives of children, so that faith may be planted and nourished. This is a very large challenge for the church in Britain today. I suspect that when the history of the 20th century church comes to be written, one of the biggest mistakes that will have happened in the 20th century in the church was when evangelical churches changed their pattern of Sunday worship and did away with reaching out to unreached children. You know, my brother Keith and Mel, we were an unreached family who were reached because a local church laid on children's work and we were sent to it. And then that all sort of more or less stopped about 30 years ago. And a lot of churches started doing children's work differently and basically only attracting the children of the members of the church by and large. And I think in the church, we need to do all we can to ensure that God's word gets an entrance into the lives of children. And this is why, you know, I encourage you to do two things. There are people here who will say to me quite fairly, we feel that a section of our life doing children's work has come to a close. If you honestly feel that, then I want you to pray about the children's work and the work in this church. There are people, and there have been others who, well after the age of 80, have still been involved in children's work. So it's not just an age matter. This challenge out to the church here, and I should be doing it at the 10:30s as well. Consider investing some time and energy in children's and youth work attached to our church. Because when you do that, you're investing in the future in the best possible way by time to enable children to hear God's word. It's absolutely marvelous, and it's an unplanned and an unintended down ever in any elders meeting I've been in and had plans to get people particularly trained to go and lead other congregations. But it is just something God has done. And some of us have been here long enough to see several people raised up who are now leading congregations elsewhere. But how about asking God to raise up more people to meet the challenge of children's and youth work right here in Battle through Battle Baptist Church? Because the majority of babies and children in this town are growing up without the opportunity to hear about Jesus. But they would be open if they had the chance to. That's the wonderful thing about children. They're open. They're ready to take new ideas on board. They're very trusting. And they're, by and large, very open to hear God's word if they have the opportunity. But the majority of children and babies born in this town don't get any opportunity to hear about Jesus. And it's strange. I don't know why ministry to children is seen as being less of an opportunity to preach and to witness than doing it amongst adults. Pauline Glover said something very interesting a couple of weeks ago after she did that, they were involved in that drama sketch. We'll do it and you'll learn how to. And we can. Saying to somebody about 9 say, you know, what? For that church to see wonderful signs, but it was here. prophecy of Isaiah, which we find in our Bibles, in Isaiah 35, it says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." And the leper was to bear testimony that the Messiah had touched. And now, in the Old Testament, leprosy was really symbolic of sin, an untimely death, cut off from the community. And everybody today who has not committed their life to Jesus Christ is like a spiritual leprosy sufferer, really cut off from God's support by the rebellion of their own sin. And just like that leprosy sufferer of old, we must come to Jesus alone and kneel before him and ask him to forgive us and make us whole. And Jesus can reach out with compassion and give that sin-cleansing touch, which leaves you feeling completely different about yourself, your situation, and the challenges of your own life. So I want to encourage you to believe that not only will Jesus reach out and touch children that we attract to this church, but that